Good morning, everyone. Lots going on as usual. And as usual, I remind you, join the mailing list. I was going to start it out. I was going to send my email this morning. I usually send it out Monday, but I was busy. I'm even more busy today. I'll get it out. I'll get it out today, probably. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. But anyway, you can sign. Well, you can help support the show by clicking on this link if you shop at Amazon. If you don't shop at Amazon, no problem. You can also buy my book at Amazon by clicking on this link. You can join the mailing list here, and you can join up for the Sunday afternoon table talks, which is just a bunch of really great people from across Canada sitting around and talking about how completely nuts our country has become. And it's fun. It's very cathartic. It's a good conversation. I encourage you to show up and watch it if you can't show up for the actual, to be a part of the conversation. But if you can show up to be a part of the conversation, I encourage you to do that as well. You can buy my book without the ickiness of Amazon if you don't like that at my website, canadapoly.com, and you can sign up for all the same things I just talked about there. You can check out the forums. You can check out locals. You can check out all sorts of stuff. Do the Purple Ribbon campaign. Let people know they're not alone. Although my Purple Ribbons got taken down and I have not been able to go out and put them back up, even though I go out for a walk most days, but still I should get out there and do that. I saw this yesterday and it was heartwarming, right? People are nuts, man. I saw at the beginning of the campaign, yeah, at the beginning of this flight, at the beginning of the pandemic, I saw Chinese people going to places like Italy, and they had signs that said like, racism is not who we are, or something like that. And, you know, do you want a hug, basically? And, oh no, is it going to do this? Goodness me, that's frustrating. Okay, we'll try this again. I'll try and cue it up. But people are crazy. Beginning of the pandemic, Asian people in Italy, and Italy was in the news at that time for being a big outbreak, and he was like, oh, you know, I just want a hug. I was like, this is crazy. What are you doing? It doesn't make a lot of sense to react that way. But at the same time, in this situation, I feel like what this guy's doing is a very positive thing, and I think that we've learned a lot since then, right? So, but it's very interesting the responses he gets. So he's got a sign that says, your vaccine status doesn't change how much I love you. And a bunch of people come up and say like, I love you, man. And a whole bunch of nice responses. And then a bunch of people come up and like, are you pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine? And he's like, well, watch. Here you go. Maybe.
I love you. Have a great day. What's bullshit about that?
Get the vaccine or the vaccine?
Neither.
It's a little dramatic, but alright.
Why is that?
Love you too, man.
Love you. Much love.
Nice to see.
Thank you.
Something like this.
Come for a hug. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I love you too.
Much love, man.
You're so sweet.
Thanks so much.
I love you.
Have an amazing day.
And stuff like that, man. I don't know. The hugging kind of put me off last year. And this year, I'm like, that's good. That's a bit of humanity, right? That's a bit of humanity. I don't know. Green Party leader Annamie Paul is stepping down. Let's get into the politics of this, the Canadian-ness of this. And Annamie Paul, during her speech, she said that it was the attacks on her over the last year wore her down. And that's why she's stepping down, right? Internal attacks on her that greatly contributed to the Green Party's disastrous showing in the recent election. Yeah, you know, very interesting. And who's going to be the next leader? The Greens enthusiastically nominated Ms. Paul. And now they're like distancing themselves as far as they possibly can from her. So interesting, right? A lot of difference, a lot of changes a year can make. Justin Trudeau, Erin O'Toole, Jagmeet Singh have thanked Annamie Paul for her service as Green Party of Canada leader. You know who hasn't thanked her for her service or acknowledged today's announcement? The Canadian Greens official Twitter account? Huh. Infighting in the party, eh? They were like, fine, you can take us through this election, but nothing else. Very interesting. And I mean, did she deserve to be treated like that? I don't know. It's very interesting. Moving on, Martin here is a portfolio manager and he's tweeting out. He says he has had a good chat today with some friends who just moved to Vancouver. Real estate market is a complete shit show, out of control with huge above the ask offers not even being responded to. Most houses are foreign owned and just sitting empty. Was told that foreigners don't want to be bothered with renting and listing well above market as don't want to sell, but rather listing as a means of avoiding paying the non-resident tax. Tell me, folks, how is this not an issue during the recent election? How does this help Canadian families looking to set roots in the area? What about young people in the next generation when there are bidding wars even for rentals? Are parts of this country simply becoming the backyard for the world's rich to park their money in real estate? Is this our future? Is this the legacy we want to leave our kids, casinos and real estate? What am I missing? No, you're not missing anything. You're missing the fact that the government doesn't give a shit. That's what you're missing. The government doesn't care at all. Nothing. Nope. No, they care, but if they stopped what they're doing with the real estate, then the economy would crash. So short-term maintenance over long-term stability, I guess. Asian boy Summer says, it's only recently that I realized this. Although it's a little xenophobic to point this out, I don't think so. It's just fair to ask, why is Canada committed to increasing its immigration rates while doing little to no improvement to its healthcare capacities? You know what? I'm gonna put this in a different spot because we're gonna look at the healthcare capacities. And later in the show, you can see that as a Canadian ages, as you age, you are more likely to need healthcare. And as we age, we are less likely to get good healthcare because the graph is going down, okay? So I'm gonna move this, hold on. The last general governance thing here is, this just made me laugh, the other Michael. So if you've noticed, the media has been focusing on one of the two Michaels and not excluding the other, but just, you know, he's not doing interviews and all that other stuff. So this guy says, the other Michael, the Canadian David says, the other Michael's probably based and won't play along with their narratives, which, You know, I could see that. I could see that it's plausible. I'm not sure, right? Who knows? That's Twitter, right? But who knows? Plausible to me, right? Okay, 680 News is reporting yesterday. When things like this illustrate the difference between celebrities, so like, you know, the elite class, and your everyday rabble-rousers, run-of-the-mill regular folks like us, right? You, dear viewer, and me. I think that maybe some people, it'll shake them awake, right? They'll be like, what's happening? Where am I? Right? And they're like, oh my goodness, really? They're really doing this? But most people are just like, oh yeah, well, they're important. Like, no, they're rich and exempt. Goodness me. Okay. Opposing unvaccinated NBA players will be able to enter Canada and play in Toronto against the Raptors under a national interest exemption. It's in the national interest that you let these players in to play. COVID be darned, right? We've got to win. General Manager Bobby Webster says the team is one second dose away from being 100% fully vaccinated. Oh, we're right there. We're so close, right? Just under the booster wire, right? My problem, not yours. Andrew Wiggin sticks to beliefs regarding COVID-19 vaccine. So, this guy, he was originally from Thornhill, Ontario. He was one of, I think he was a top draft pick 2000, I don't know, a while ago. He was a, you know, talk of the town and blah, blah, blah. He was on Canada AM. He got drafted and he was, you know, big player. And he's saying, you know, I'm not going to do this. And they are making it as difficult as humanly possible, as they said they would, to follow through with your convictions. This guy's got a good question. I think we're going to watch all of this because he's just like, I don't believe you. And no, how could you believe this? Here we go. Maybe.
Every player, every person in this world is going to make their own decision for themselves. I would like an explanation to, you know, people with vaccines. Why are they still getting COVID? If that's something that we are supposed to highly be protected from, like, that's funny that, oh, it reduces your chances of going to the hospital. It doesn't eliminate anybody from getting COVID, right? So is everybody in here vaxxed? I would assume, right? So you all can still get COVID, right?
We're less likely to die or go to the hospital.
Okay, but you can still get COVID, right? So, and you can still pass it along with the vax, right?
So
I'm just asking a question.
Oh, sure. And so, like, having COVID back around the Olympics, like, that basically just saying, like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but having it change your opinion one way or another, like, did it kind of reemphasize I don't need the vaccine because of that?
No. That wasn't the case. I mean, yeah, I had it, but that doesn't mean I can't get it again, you know? I mean, it's no different than somebody with the vaccine. Like I can, yes, I developed the antibodies for it, so my chances will be less likely now as well, right? But it's still a possibility. I may get it. Just like there are players and coaches and staff who are vaxxed and missing camp right now because of it. So.
Snap. That's the linchpin. Like, it's not just like you could get it. It's we have a whole bunch of breakthrough cases. In fact, I've got the next couple of tabs are breakthrough cases. And it's just in, Harvard Business School moves classes online as COVID-19 breakthrough cases soar despite 95% vaccination rate among students and staff. Holy smokeronies. Online school is going to save us all, right? Because reasons, I guess. I'm not sure. Very, very strange, very, very wild. If you can give it and you can get it when you're vaccinated, how exactly does the vaccine passport help if people who are vaccinated are getting COVID at the rates that they are? It makes no sense. Just like the basketball star that we just watched, I don't know who he is. I'm sure he's a very, very good basketball star. But he just asked questions that made those reporters uncomfortable. Why did it make them uncomfortable? Because it challenged their worldview. They're protected, and everybody behaves as if they're protected. They all ignore all of these breakthrough cases. Charlie Kirk says, "The media won't tell you this. The media told you this." Okay, the media did. The media is reporting about this Harvard thing. But the Harvard thing is just the latest in a steady stream of places that thought vaccines are the way out. They vaccinated, and now it doesn't matter, right? The vaccinated are being tested 3 times a week in Harvard now, because of the breakthrough cases. So you're being tested 3 times a week. You have to isolate, all of this stuff. And what's the point of vaccine? If it gets you nothing, what's the point? Does it make any sense? Does it make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me. Right? Oh, to protect other people, but it doesn't though, right? Like, okay, wear this helmet out all the time to protect other people, right? Maybe wear deodorant out all the time to protect other people. That's a better argument than the vaccine. Holy, so have you been around somebody with bad BO? There was a time where I was like, man, I wish I brought a mask. Shopping in a place. And I mean, you know, it happens, but I was kidding. I wouldn't have actually worn the mask. Anyway, Charlie Kirk says, "The media won't tell you this." The media did. But there's a massive China virus outbreak at the Harvard Business School. Students are moving to only online classes despite 95% of students and 96% of staff being fully vaccinated. Is this what following the science gets you? The problem that I have with all of this is that they're locking down vaccinated people. It gets you nothing. How is this the exit strategy? They're herding everybody. It's like sheep. Like, if you just go into this pen here and they lock the door, the dog will stop bothering you. Okay, great. Right? But it's exactly what we're doing. The sheep herding thing is exactly what's happening. It's the sheep dogs, you know, get vaxxed. Bark, 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 bark. They're just trying to herd up all the extra sheep. Bark, 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 bark. They're just trying to herd up the stray sheep who refuse to listen. And, you know, they're, well, Arthur Pulowski was arrested yesterday. We'll get to that in a minute as well. But they're arresting other shepherds. And only their sheepdogs, and they're hijacking the flock, right? They're putting us all into a truck, and they're driving us away from wherever we are, just like at the beginning of Babe. Okay, two Alberta NDP activist doctors are calling for a firebreak restrictions amid fourth COVID-19 wave. They want to reinstitute lockdowns in Alberta, and the media is totally on board with it. Totally on board with it, right? They love it. They love that idea. Do it. Print it. Let's go. Lockdowns and stimuli money destroy economies. Masks sow distrust and maintain fear. The other people that you see are not people anymore. They're dehumanized. So you don't see other citizens struggling like you are. You see enforcers, stormtroopers, others, right? People who are easily, and then the people who are unmasked. The bad guy? No. They still say be nice to unmasked people. I've heard this, be nice to unmasked people. You don't know what they're dealing with type deal. But the rhetoric on the store intercoms and stuff, you know, don't come if you can't be vac or can't be masked and blah, 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 blah. It's all meant to wear you down. Sheep herding dogs. School safety or COVID relief equals remove work incentives. Same with stimulus money. It destroys the economy, right? School safety ruined education for a generation. Yeah, there's a lot of really kids who are starting school right now. The base that they're getting is not very solid. And there are some families that are going to make up for that, and there are some families that are going to be really impacted negatively by that. Vaccine passports further polarize already divided society. Vaccine mandates deepen healthcare and supply crisis. Yes, because the vaccine mandates remove labor, even healthy labor. You would never do this in an emergency response. This is a response to implode our economy. It is not a response to respond to an emergency. What they are doing is criminal. It is unbelievable. Dalhousie University says it's taking disciplinary action against students who took part in a rowdy party Saturday night that drew thousands to the city's south end. This population is at least 90%+ vaccinated. If Dalhousie University doesn't have a forced vaccine policy in place, I'll eat my hat, okay? These kids are mostly vaccinated. Are you kidding me, right? They're in Guelph doing the same thing. And it's not responsible in Guelph, and it's not responsible in Nova Scotia. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to claim that these kids are somehow putting people at risk and not thinking of the community. And these kids have been on the back burner for the last 18 months, 2 years. These kids have had their entire lives blown up. These kids have done everything that's been asked of them and more. And now they're trying to rake them over the coals for attending a homecoming party. Same in Guelph. They're vaccinated. What the heck is wrong with the adult? This is like living in Footloose. Like, the whole planet has become Footloose. And we're Kevin Bacon. The movie analogies have to stop. Okay, 6,000 fans. In addition to targeting the students in Nova Scotia, they're encouraging 6,000 fans at a full capacity soccer game because reasons, fully vaccinated. There's no difference. They're just trying to crack down on parties, right? We can dance if we want to. That wasn't in focus. Okay. Here's Arthur Pawlowski, who's been arrested. Now, I heard that they rerouted the plane from where he was going to land. There were 70 people here. They were supposed to be receiving Mr. Pawlowski and Reverend Pawlowski, and he was rerouted to a different airport, arrested, and taken to an undisclosed location. I don't know that his lawyer knows where he is. I don't know that anybody outside of the police who took him know where he is. I mean, why would I know that? I'm just a dude in my garage, right? So I wouldn't know that anyway, unless they made it public. But the people who know him and say we should know where he is are saying that we don't know where he is. I'm hearing that secondhand, rumors, right? So take it for what it is. But all of that is interesting to me. Even just the fact of rerouting the plane specifically to arrest Mr. Pawlowski, I don't think that... What? The other legal issues that he had were being dealt with by his lawyers. So is there a new legal issue? Don't you think that would be communicated? Don't you think it's weird that Marwan Tabara, who broke into his ex-girlfriend's house and was told what he did was terrible and all sorts of stuff, he got no time. He got three years probation, no prison time. So why is a pastor who is nonviolent, who is opening his church because he doesn't believe the government and he asks for proof and they don't provide it, why is he being arrested and put into jail? Are they not worried about his health and safety? Isn't that weird? That's weird to me. Seems weird to me, right? It really does. There's something going on there. People are protesting. We're gonna look at the vax pass as well. People are protesting. Hold on, I think I have to move something. No, maybe not. Here is a pamphlet that is being handed out or being circulated among restaurant owners, etc., and it's specific to Canadians' rights. And it says, "Welcome, please be seated at a sanitized table. Due to staff and financial shortages, we're unable to have someone at the door to seat you. We ask that you kindly make your way to a sanitized table, and a server will be over as soon as possible. At this time, the server will ask if you would like to show your passport. You can refuse under Privacy Law 2A, Canadian Bill of Rights. The servers are not bouncers nor police officers. You will not be physically removed nor denied services based on the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, Section 15.1, Equality Rights. Thank you for your patronage and cooperation during this difficult time. If bylaw continues to harass us over this matter, we will be forced to do takeout only and do not believe in segregation or discrimination. Thank you for understanding." I think it's elegant. I think it's well done. I think that it will enrage the people that are trying to divide us. Dana Hubbard owns the neat bistro in Port Hope called Local Number 90, And this is a Joe Warmington report. She has no issue with vaccines, but says she'll not ask her customers for their status or to provide a vaccine passport. She says she's already been visited at home and her restaurant by police and wonders what will happen next. So she's saying she won't check these passports and has had a visit from police.
Hi everyone, I'm Dana Hubbard and I'm the owner of Local Number 90. Why am I doing this? This wasn't a choice for myself, as I mentioned before, it's been a choice for everybody. I strongly, firmly believe that this goes against our rights and it's against the law. So therefore, again, we will not be looking at vaccine passports. However, again, you're welcome to show us. We also have the new menu.
Gotta advertise. So she goes in, you go in and see, and then she sits down at her kitchen table and tells about, or at her, at inside of their, of her bistro, and tells about the visit that she got at home from police to threaten a fine and then back off. So they're saber rattling, they're threatening.
From what I understand, the police, the Port Hope police, actually went to your house?
They did go to my residence, correct.
So it was a pre-crime kind of warning?
So I don't know what their intention was, but they had told me that they will be coming to Local 90 that day. I think it was Thursday at 4 p.m. to personally give me a fine, to which the other two younger gentlemen came around 4 p.m. and told me that they are unable to give me a fine. So I think it might have been a bit of intimidation tactic.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised. I've heard of situations where people who tweet things at the Wellington Dufferin Guelph Public Health have had police called. If you call the Wellington Dufferin Health, and I heard this from somebody who called them, and it says on the answering machine, if you're aggressive to us or threatening to us, we will call the police and deal with it as a threat. So I know that Guelph police are interested in and following up on perceived threats through Twitter or perceived threats through phone calls. So it's not surprising to me that they're threatening people for them saying it's not our job to enforce vaccine passport certificates. It's very interesting what's going on. This is a departure from the freedom in Canada. You used to have freedom of expression. You used to be able to say what you wanted to say, and if you were wrong, then it wasn't a criminal matter, right? And now they have changed that. Alberta and Canada is protesting too. Alberta and Canada. Ha. Alberta is protesting as well. No vax pass, no worries, epic unity. Just like the French, the Canadians take it to the streets during alfresco, doing alfresco, dining alfresco style and leaving the restaurants empty. 24/7 disruption, civil disobedience, and unity will win this war. You know... Right, maybe. What's the level?
So this is our protest because all the businesses in Alberta have denied access to unvaccinated people. So we have taken it to the streets and have created our own picnics. You have empty patios and busy streets.
Is this a population?
If you're in Calgary, come down to Stephen Avenue right now. Bring a blanket and a picnic basket and some friends.
Is this a population that looks afraid of a virus? It doesn't look afraid to a virus to me. It looks like a population that is telling its government to back off, just like the French. So there are people protesting. Very interesting. What I was going to say was, what's the percentage? Seeing the population and the group of the number of people participating in this gives me a bit of hope. Maybe, because I was going to say, if you've got 75% of the people who are double jabbed and they don't care, 25% of people, it's going to be hard to make a turn. You can push a population with 11%, but those 11% need to be unified, and usually they need to be coordinated, right? I talk about 30 guys with muskets. Man, if only, right? Like, if only we had that much organization. At least the 30 guys with muskets would have like a similar goal, right? At this point, everybody's just kind of Harry Carey all over the place, in my opinion. And nobody can really, Well, the shape-shifting nature of the government and their movements, first it was free speech, now masking, now vax passports, it's always in flux. So even if you pin something down, they'll do four other things while you're trying to deal with one thing. And while you're doing the one thing, they'll do things that undermine what you're doing just to make it complete. Like, you may win, but you'll lose ultimately because you're spending time on this one thing and they've got the resources to do 10 others. And you don't have the resources to even meet them at them. That's Trump even. Right? Like, I'm not just talking about me personally, because I don't have the resources to do. I have the resources to do a little show. That's it. That's all I got. But, you know, even if you pin them down, good luck. Right? Here's, like, there's a bunch of stuff like this happening. What happens? The people, the kids suffer, the staff suffer, the community suffers because they miss out on good teachers. This is in front of the administration building for Crystal Lake School District, where my buddy Jeff works. Each shoe represents a staff member that's leaving, and a note under it saying, as to why we're leaving, because of forced vaccination or daily testing. So I think this is in the United States, but I don't know where Crystal Lake School District is. So apologies that I don't know where it is. But these things are happening all across the West. It's not just here. It's not just Australia. They're just offering a window into what's happening. Here's a protest. This is the protest in Calgary. This is the street protest we were just watching, right? That's a lot of people having picnics, right? This is yesterday. People are not happy about this. The protests don't seem to work. I don't know how you fix that. I don't know how you consolidate that. I don't know how you take that information and say, man, there's a whole lot of people protesting and doing that doesn't do a damn thing. How do you reconcile? That's the word I was looking for. Reconcile that and then move forward, because we keep doing the same thing and we keep failing in the same way and they keep going, okay, that was a fun little protest. Now here's your vaccine passports, plebs, right? My magic pen, but I got another one. So you sit there and you look at that situation and say, okay, like we're obviously not hitting them where it hurts. We're obviously not doing something that matters to them. So we need to reconcile that. We need to understand that, yes, we have a lot of people. Yes, our organization is garbage as far as a cohesive message other than stop doing what you're doing. We don't like it. But we have a lot of people. So we have to figure out how to actually use that, because what we're doing right now is we're burning out and it's like grounding out power. You're like, we've got all this energy. What do we do with it? Well, there's nowhere to put it. What do we do? Put it down into the ground. Done. And it's gone, right? So, you know, like, I don't want it to be gone. I want people to push back. This is great. I like seeing this. What's next, right? But unfortunately, the track we're on is not a track that ends well. I don't want that, right? But the government is making it more and more unreasonable. The government's policies are making it more and more likely that people who don't want to push back will be pushed on violently, and then they'll push back violently, right? And vaccine mandates are violence by the government. They are. And so when the government is mandating violence to 25% of the population and then encouraging the 70% who they deem are on their side to vilify that 25% of the population, what happens then? What happens when the public is calling for the unvaccinated to be rounded up and put into camps, isolation camps? What happens when, we'll talk about it in a minute, but custody of your children hinges on your vax status. What happens then, right? Is that violence enough? Will you stand up for that? I don't know. Right? Protesting Greece against vax passports and COVID madness. The problem is that it's a lot of energy, but without a real goal. This stuff boils over. This is what hits the stage. This is the time when heads of state run. Well, not exactly this, but we watched the Arab Spring, right? There was a time when the Muslim Brotherhood took over in Egypt and deposed their old regimes. Other leaders of countries have been overrun, their guards, etc., overrun by the public because the public are done with them. But overrunning a government like that doesn't actually result in better governance necessarily. What ends up happening is the most powerful strongman takes hold, right? And like that's not good. I don't think that what we're setting up is good. I think that what we're setting up is a disaster. And then once the disaster happens, after the disaster happens, when nobody can actually deal with it, they say, you know what, we'll come and fix it all up. All you've got to do is sign over your whole country to us, and we'll totally, everything will go back to what you remember as normal. No, right? No. We have to be smarter about this. We're not being smarter about this, but we have to be smarter about this. Forced vaccinations, I've got lots of stories for you. Should smokers have to pay for their percentage of their healthcare? Smoking has a lot of taxes. It used to be like a pack of smokes was $2.50. I don't remember smoking at that point in time. When I was smoking, packs of smokes were $8 to $10. And then they hit $12 and I was like, I don't have the money for this. But smokers do pay higher taxes for their cigarettes. And Imperial Tobacco is still hiring, man. Still hiring. What about obese people? Okay, obese people don't pay higher taxes. What about diabetics? Diabetics pay for their needles, but drug users do not. So that's weird, right? We've got to get those drug users their needles, but diabetics, no, you can pay out of pocket. You've usually got jobs, right? Those drug users don't. What about patients living with liver failure due to alcoholism, right? Do they have to pay? Alcohol is heavily taxed as well, but I don't know that that tax is used for healthcare. What about drug addicts? The drug addicts are exempt from everything. You can't marginalize that protected class. I think that's something that they can't control, right? They're drug addicts. I'm rolling my eyes. Okay, should those that don't pay income tax be denied healthcare? Oh, good question. Can you just say I'm gonna opt out of the taxes because you guys are just using my taxes to imprison us in our open air prison colony? Like, no, we can't do that? Well, interesting, right? Interesting. They can withhold our care, but we can't say, okay, well, if you're not gonna abide by your end of the bargain, then I'm gonna stop paying. It would be like Rogers saying, listen, we're not gonna give you internet, but here's your bill. And you saying, no, I'm not going to pay that. And then them saying, that's illegal. You can't do that. Right? We're going to send the police in. Taxes will be very upset with you if you don't pay your Rogers bill. Hamilton bus drivers won't tell the city if they've had the COVID jab. More HSR bus drivers won't tell the city if they've had the COVID jab. So they're following the TTC. Don't you find it weird that transportation unions are the only unions? Transportation, some police unions, hospitals. They're done. Rolled right over. Sorry about your luck. There's nothing we can do about that. They're gonna mandate vaxes and your body, our choice, right? But the bus drivers, they're like, I don't think so. I think it's interesting that there's a whole charge being led to by unions and by like people who are supposed to protect you and your rights, government as well. Charge being led to remove your rights to be able to choose about this one, right? No, sorry, you're not. Your body, our choice because reasons. Right? And we're not going to prove it with actual data. You just have to believe us, right? And don't look at the data yourself. That's probably not a good idea. Two NDP activist doctors are calling for all unvaccinated Albertans to be banned from employment. Huh. Right? What's next? Are you going to starve them? And then if they refuse to die from starving, you know, we just got to speed it up a little bit, right? Let's get those unvaccinated into gas chambers, right? Chop, chop. Roman Babber says, Ruta Delzato, retired, served with the OPP for 31 years. Yesterday in Hamilton, she pleaded, protect our jobs. Police, fire, and EMS have always been there for you. We ask, be there for us. Please watch and add your name. So there's a jab or job mandate coming down. Roman Babber has a October 4th, that's next week, that he'd like to have passed. He's an independent. He's trying to get the Ford government to back it up. What do you think is going to happen? I hope Mr. Babber is successful, but my prediction is that Doug Ford is going to be, Doug Ford, and ignore all of this and ignore all the problems that he's causing by ignoring all of this. Very problematic. Kyle Becker says, if vaccine mandates do not recognize natural immunity, do not recognize antibody testing, do not offer test outs, and do not acknowledge that vaccinations do not stop the spread, then it's absolutely clear they have nothing to do with health or science. I think that's very true. I think it's very, very true. Sign outside Home Hardware reads vaccinated or not, all are welcome. Right? So wait till the police show up to get that pre-crime done. COVID vaccine stance could affect child custody. Here's the Toronto Sun from September 26th. Today is the 28th. Go to a concert, see a ball game, get on an airplane. There are some things you cannot do. There are some things you cannot do unless you've been vaccinated against COVID-19. Now vaccination status may be an issue for parents who share custody of their children. Vaccines were a contentious family court long before the pandemic, explains family law expert Russell Alexander. But with COVID, there are disputes about whether a child should be vaccinated, especially now as vaccines are available to younger and younger people. They're giving third shots to people. I know firsthand people who got third shots, and the governance over who has the right to approve was in question. Like, it's a complicated situation, and I don't want to give anything away, but it's a very interesting, knowing firsthand accounts of situations where people are having third shots without their caregivers being notified is very scary, right? Very scary, because that's where you are. That's where we're at, right? And you don't have a say for your own kids. Even when you're the legal guardian, even when you're like legally, you have that paperwork in place. Wild. What happens when you find a business on an anti-vaccination passport website? Here's what we found in Hamilton. So this is a story basically trying to stop people from doing exactly what we heard the Bistro 90 was doing. Or Local 90 was doing at the beginning of this segment, right? So they're doing their best to quell these ne'er-do-wells, or the protesters, not the beginning of this segment. Anyway, they're doing their best to stop them before they get started, which is just incredible, right? And the threats of fines, threats of worse. Somebody as well, I guess this should go in forced vaccine. Yeah. Edible vaccines, scientists are studying the potential of leafy greens as homegrown mRNA factories. So like, yeah, if you buy a bagged salad, you'll be ingesting the mRNA spike protein, and then your body will get the instructions to make it, right? Yay, right? Why? Who needs consent? We just need them to have to eat, right? Soylent Green is what? Spiked protein? Dominic from Toronto says, today I resigned from a volunteer position bringing food and clothing vouchers to the poor in my community. It was either the jab or submit to a test at my cost weekly. During the pandemic, I delivered these vouchers without any mandates. I harbor no ill will and will not comment further. These vax mandates have a real impact. The people who are doing this to us are monstrous. There's no other way to say it. The Ontario government won't be changing its mind on vax passports anytime soon. Officials are pointing to Ontario's numbers as proof their go slow approach is working. Read and retweet. So this is the new forever normal. This is what they want you to get used to until the social credit score comes into play. And then you better get used to that quick. They're trying to tell you that we're in the middle of a deadly pandemic with a hospital bed shortage while simultaneously firing nurses and healthcare workers. Our government isn't being run by serious people. Stop letting them dictate how you live your life. That would be a good idea, wouldn't it? Here is U.S. hospitals fear staffing shortages as vaccine deadlines loom. Here is a U.S. This is the new governor of New York since Cuomo stepped down. I think this is the new governor.
Deploy people who've been retired, who may have had a license lapse. Bring in people from elsewhere. That is not
trying to reset it here. Hold on. I hope it doesn't skip. Here we go.
And we'll be nation leading with our mandate, which strikes at midnight tonight, when everyone is expected in a hospital in the state of New York or a healthcare facility to have been vaccinated. I will be signing an executive order to give me the emergency powers necessary to address these shortages where they occur. That's going to allow me to deploy the National Guard, who are medically trained, deploy people who've been retired, who may have had a license lapse, bring in people.
So they're firing nurses and bringing in the army. Just to simplify, that's New York National Guard. That's the army, right? So holy smoke. That was on the October email too, but it was earlier that the army would be called in. And I guess we've had the army called in, but they haven't been on the streets like in a military patrol style. Regardless, more than 40 hospital employees on unpaid leave for failing to divulge their vaccination status. This is Ottawa, the Ottawa Hospital. I think it's probably more than 40. This was the first salvo, the article says, but who knows. This is where I moved that thing from the beginning of the show. Milhouse Van Houten says, here's the same data displayed per 100,000 population. There's more to the story than COVID. According to the OECD dev data, the number of hospital beds in Canada has not kept pace with population growth. Whatever healthcare crisis we now face is a result of long-term government neglect. Here's the same data displayed per 100,000 population. With each passing year, as the population ages and grows larger, the average Canadian has access to a basically shrinking supply of healthcare resources. Because the bad policy of the immigration is inflating our population, but the healthcare resources are not increased to match, the older you get in Canada, because of the bad federal immigration policies, the worse your healthcare is. It's that simple. It's that simple. And it's unbelievable that this is something that has not been talked about at all. Darren says, this is the real crisis. As the percentage of population that's most reliant on healthcare has increased substantially, the number of hospital beds has decreased dramatically. Talk of hospitals being overwhelmed due to the unvaccinated is nonsense. Whose fault is this? Yeah, yeah. We already looked at that one, so I'll just close that. Asian Boy Summer, I said earlier, this is the one I looked at and then I moved here. Why is Canada committed to increasing its immigration rates while doing little to no improvement to its healthcare capacities? Throwing money at this doesn't work. We don't have the nurses. They're leaving en masse because the policies are bullshit. Okay. Dr. Tam, Teresa Tam, the CPHO says, misinformation and disinformation are barriers to vaccination. Always check multiple references and seek facts from trustworthy sources. Learn how to prevent the spread of mis and disinformation. Simon says, what happens when the misinformation comes from public health and government? Headshot. Here is the Toronto Star trying to push the narrative that children are at risk. Study finds kids were at low risk of severe COVID early in the pandemic before Delta, implying that they're at high risk now, but they're not. Here is Ash Kaur. The death rate of COVID in healthy kids is 0.003 without treatment. That's less than 0.1%. Okay. We know myocarditis risk is 1 in 1,000 reported, likely 10 times higher due to underreporting in asymptomatic cases, plus other unknown risks. Weigh benefits versus risks carefully. John Tory won't be liable. John Tory is talking about Toronto Public Health readying to vaccinate children 5 to 11. Here it is. Toronto Public Health gets ready to vaccinate Toronto children 5 to 11 years of age against COVID-19. They're talking about when it's approved. They're going for the approval this week in the United States. When will NACI approve it here? NACI. Ontario reports another 135 COVID-19 cases associated with public schools, trying to drive the narrative again. School cases now make up 26% of provincial active caseload. The teachers have a test out. So the teachers aren't vax mandated, but they have mandatory testing, right? And the students have mandatory testing if they have a sniffle. What happens in September and October in schools all across Ontario and across the West? Kids get sick, right? Because they haven't been around each other for the whole summer and they get sick. Adults get sick too. Most of the time it's because they don't wash their hands before they eat, right? I worked in a school for years. I worked in schools for 15 years. I washed my hands every time before I eat. With soap usually, right? But every time before I eat, I was like, okay, I'm gonna wash my hands. I also worked with a particularly, he liked to sneakily smear things on door handles and things like that. And so if he could do it and get away with it, he would. And so if he got away with it, you would never know. And so I got very, very good at making sure I washed my hands before I ate and I never got sick, never. Never. And I don't get, you can go back to the day I started this show and watch every day from 2018, March, April, 2018 to now. And I think 1 or 2 days I had a little frog in my throat here and there. But I have not missed a day and I have not been sick, period. I haven't worn a mask. I don't do ivermectin or HCQ or anything like that. I take vitamin D. I take a little bit of maybe vitamin C. I eat an apple every day. That's it. And I don't let bullshit into my brain. Okay. Holy smokeronis. Wash your hands before you eat. That's it. You know? Anyway, this is sad. Dr. Patrick Phillips is forbidden to give mask or vaccine exemptions. College of Physicians and Surgeons alleges that he's engaged in disgraceful, dishonorable, or unprofessional conduct and failure to maintain the standard of practice of the profession. They're going after your jobs. Everybody's jobs. And if they're going after the healthcare workers, they don't care about your jobs. These heroes, the healthcare worker heroes, right? This healthcare worker is a hero, and what's happened to him is awful. So I hope that he is okay. I hope that what happens to him is rectified, because what's happening is not right. And I think that people think that we're in a movie, and that at some point, you know, the plot device that enables instant travel is going to show up, and everybody's going to touch the pen, boop, and we're all where we need to be exactly, and everything works out in the end, right? The super happy ending in Wayne's World, right? I think that we're conditioned to believe that that could be true. History doesn't work like that. They needed an army to break Germany out of the grip of what had happened there. And what happened there in the 1930s and the 1940s maps real well to what's happening here. And I don't know about you, but I haven't heard of any armies that aren't down with what's happening right now and willing to come and help us fix the mess that's happened here. So, and by here, I mean like North America, United States, Canada. It's very, very concerning. Very concerning. We've got stormtroopers in Australia, right? Here's a stormtrooper walking back and forth, and his, like, this guy's, you know, he's probably one of the medium
stormtroopers. I'll try to help him up.
That was loud.
I'll try to help him up.
But yeah, just marching back and forth. What's with the circular plastic shields? That's a little weird, isn't it? That's new. Stormtroopers, right? Welcome to 2021, where you don't want to cross those guys, right? These are not the droids you're looking for. Wild. Truckies are stopping traffic in Australia. Do you think that it's going to work?
And vaccine mandates. Vic Roads has lowered the speed limit as... Let's go to another breaking... Another breaking story now. These are live pictures of the Tullamarine Freeway in Melbourne, where trucks are intentionally trying to slow traffic. It's the latest in a series of demonstrations to play out in the city, protesting lockdowns and vaccine mandates. Vic Roads has lowered the speed limit as a precaution. We'll come back to that as it develops.
So we'll see how that plays out. I don't know if that's going to work. I hope it does. I mean, people are not happy and they're willing to organize. The truckies, but again, how do you relay your demands to the people in charge when the people in charge ignore anybody who speaks about what the demands would be? Calgary and Edmonton are both only allowing fully vaccinated into their rinks. Medical experts are worried that this will still exacerbate the already devastating fourth wave of COVID-19 pandemic. Huh. Weird, right? Like, that's weird, isn't it? You'd think that if the vaccine worked, why isn't it working? That's just, I mean, you know, I've been asking that for a while, but like, if the vaccine worked, and all of these people are vaccinated, and all the kids are vaccinated, and all the people at the hockey or the soccer game are vaccinated in Nova Scotia, and the people in Dalhousie and the people in Guelph, all the kids there are vaccinated. What's the problem, right? If this is the exit strategy, why isn't it working? And why isn't the media asking about it? I know why the media is not asking about it. I know. I get it. I know. Communist takeover. The myth of the pandemic of the unvaccinated is being dismantled brick by lying brick. An excellent news study out of Wisconsin demonstrates that, as many foresaw, the U.S. is now well into a rapidly growing pandemic of the vaccinated. There are several recently published studies that evidence similar findings. And the data out of Israel over the past few months is virtually incontrovertible on the question. But this new study is very well designed, with results difficult to dispute. Findings: asymptomatic, fully vaccinated, are carrying around extremely high, extremely infectious, high viral loads. You are much more likely, 82%, to contract COVID from an asymptomatic, fully vaccinated person than from an asymptomatic, unvaccinated person, 29%. Read that again. Unvaccinated, vaccinated, asymptomatic. How do people spread disease if they're asymptomatic? If you're not sneezing, coughing, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I don't lick my hands and then lick the doors. I know people who did, but those people don't usually drive outbreaks like this. So they're saying that totally healthy people can spread COVID without knowing it. Is the disease they're spreading just a positive test, or is the disease they're spreading potential to put somebody in the hospital? I think that it's bunk. I think that it's totally bunk. Just the asymptomatic spread idea. Like, and I would love for somebody to show me the evidence that is going into the asymptomatic spread stuff, because I'm very skeptical of it. You're equally likely, I'll carry on now with the thread here. You're equally likely to contract COVID from a symptomatic vaccinated person as from an symptomatic unvaccinated person, about 68-69%. Bottom line, it is increasingly apparent that the current case spike in the US is being driven as much or more by vaccinated as unvaccinated. It doesn't seem to matter to people that, like, the numbers clearly show we're doing worse when people are vaccinated than we did when people were unvaccinated last year. When we had an entire population of unvaccinated people, the case numbers, hospitalizations, and deaths were lower than they are now, with a cohort of, what, 80%, 70 to 80% vaccinated. That's not a good result. That's not a success, right? So saying that now we just have to get everybody vaccinated and that'll solve the problem is a lie. It's a very easily proven lie because it's not working, right? If you look at the 100% population that's been vaccinated, they keep getting COVID. So what the heck does the vaccine do? Nothing. Bupkis. It's garbage. It's nonsense. More books are being written about China. There's so many books I like to read. I much prefer audiobooks. I was going to try and do my book as an audiobook. Is there any interest in my book as an audiobook? I don't know. I was going to do it, but I thought it might take too much time. It's not that long. Anyway, regardless. A Year of Work Live on Amazon, says Jacob Helberg. He says, I wrote this book because viewed from Silicon Valley, it became clear China is engaged in an unprecedented technology struggle for global power that jeopardizes the political survival of democracy and the rule of law. I mean, that's my show, except for the focus on China. I don't focus directly on China, but China's a part of it. Climate lockdowns, last story for this morning, climate lockdowns. The policy window of opportunity provided by COVID-19 makes it possible for individuals to be allocated personal carbon allowances. In short, the COVID vaccine passport could be succeeded by personal carbon passports. Right, the global technocracy continues. They will push and they will push and they will push and they will gaslight and they will lie. But you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. And there are people who are waking up. There are people who are aware of what's going on. But I don't know that it's going to be enough. There seems to be more and more people. But the people who are entrenched in the leadership positions, I think what's happening is I was saying earlier, you think that we're going to be made whole. With Dr. Phillips and have the wrong righted before the end of this movie. That's not how life works, right? How life works is you have to realize that what happened happened, and it really happened. It's not going to get undone, right? You can't go back, right? What said was said. What happened was happened. You were Dr. Phillips is sanctioned, and they said what you've done is terrible. What he's done in his mind is not terrible. But they're casting him as the bad guy. You're never the bad guy in your own movie. You don't wake up to unless you're Doofenshmirtz, you don't wake up in the morning and go what can I do to disrupt the world today, right? You think to yourself, how can I make the world a little bit better place for some people, right? Maybe not everybody wakes up like that, but maybe it's strange for me to wake up like that. But that's how I think most people wake up. I think that most people wake up thinking how can I ease the load just a little bit, you know, on my kid or on my husband or on my wife or on my family, on my community, right? On that person that I care about, that homeless person I saw on the street, that poor kid that I work with. It doesn't matter what your motivation is, but you're trying to make something a little bit more right in the world. But now the CPSO has said, no, you're wrong. What you've done is bad. And now that happened. And now we have to deal with that. Is the CPSO right? No, I don't think they are, right? But the world is wrong. And I don't know how to fix that. But we can't go back. We have to go forward. We have to figure out a way to reconcile what's happened and reconcile that what we're doing to stop it isn't working. So we have to figure out what to do to actually make an impact on this. Because otherwise, we're going to slip into the tyranny that we're seeing all over the world. And we are. It's happening. It's happening. And once it happens, we have to deal with that. Thanks for watching, everybody. Check out CanadaPoly.com. Check out CanadaReport.co. Check out SpeakingMoistly.co. And have a wonderful, wonderful day.